blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
On today's program, I'll be telling you how you can help the victims of Hurricane Irma, how you can future-proof your business from a natural disaster, how to train your employees in customer service, and how you can help improve your presentation skills. It's Thursday, September 14th, 2017, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 77 degrees at 12:06. The forecast shows that for today, it'll be partly cloudy with a few thunderstorms later in the day, a high of 79 and a low of 61. For tomorrow, it'll be partly sunny and humid with a chance of a shower and a high of 81 degrees and a low of 62. For Saturday, we're going to have intermittent clouds and sun with a chance of a shower or two, a high of 82 and a low of 64. And for Sunday, it'll be mostly sunny and humid with a high of 81 and a low of 63. And a current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 19.52 to 22,177.70. The NASDAQ down 14.72 to 6,445.46. S&P 500 is down 2.11 to 2,496.30. Oil up 94 cents to $50.24 per barrel. Gold also up $1.20 to $1,329.20 an ounce. I'd like to say hello to Mark Whitner and Claudia Stacy for joining us on the Facebook portion of today's program. Now, Facebook viewers, you're up to date. Now it's time to check in with the rest of the show at www.hunterdonchamberradio.com. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gano, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. Welcome back, and welcome back to me, too, because I was out last week, so glad to join you. I always hate when something gets in the way of Thursday at noon. I don't care what it is. My whole week kind of revolves around Thursday at noon because I got to do the show, and last week was an important reason. My wife and I had a little getaway planned up to Lake George, Lake Bomosine, and Lake Sunapee up in Vermont and New Hampshire, just, you know, checking out the areas. And the cool thing was, at Lake George, I ran into what is known as the Adirondack Nationals, and it was just a plethora of classic cars. So I was definitely in my element. Unfortunately, due to some bad weather, we couldn't really get out and walk around, but it was just great to see all the old cars out there. And I think I'm going to have to start putting that one on my calendar every year. So there may be a few other shows that I miss. If you're listening right now, you're listening probably through your computer, and we ask that you open up another browser, go to Facebook, and like this program, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. Like it, follow it, and you'll get updates throughout the week on program topics, upcoming guests, and anything else that we feel is important to business in the area. At this time every week, we start the show with what we call the business quote of the week. There's a little bit of a story to this business quote of the week. I had a person come in. I'm going to leave names completely out of this. Had a person come into my office wanted to place a large order, and it was for a corporation, a large corporation. So they wanted to place this order, and they asked me to inflate the invoice, but to go ahead and charge, you know, I would only charge what I wanted to charge, but then to inflate the invoice by as much as about $5,000 and give that portion to them as an individual. And I said, absolutely not. Very quickly showed this individual where the front door is and told, and he says, you're going to turn down this order? I said, I'm absolutely going to turn down that order because I don't do business that way. And it wasn't but 24 hours later that somebody had posted a video online of Lou Holtz, the legendary Notre Dame football coach, giving a commencement address. Lou Holtz has some of the best wit I have ever heard. I love some of his anecdotes, like when he tells you that he lived in a town where the average age was deceased and things like that. He's just got a unique way about him, similar to the way Yogi Berra was. But he said something during this speech, which is how I've always run my businesses, how I've always run my life. So it was very easy to escort this individual to the door. He said, there's never a right time to do the wrong thing, and there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And I love that because it kind of validated what I had done, you know, by escorting this gentleman out of my business. Their boss actually called me and said, is it true that you refuse to do business with us? And I said, yes, it is, but I'll let him explain to you why. And however that ends up, I don't know, I don't care, but I'm not going to cross that line. There's never a right time to do the wrong thing, and there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Something to think about. And that's the way we should all be working all the time. This week, very exciting time. I'm like a caged lion this week, and I love it, you know, because this is the time of year when things start to get exciting. Tomorrow night, I begin my 34th year announcing Bridgewater Raritan High School football. It's exciting again because the team is good. You know, they made the state playoffs the last 2 years. Coaches are good. Team is good. Everything's looking, you know, up. So looking forward to starting the another season of high school football announcing down at Bridgewater Raritan, and looking forward to that. And here in Flemington, a whole lot going on this week. Yesterday, the Seward Johnson sculptures were placed throughout town. There's five sculptures located throughout the town. One's at Stengel, one's at Unity Bank, one's at the library, one's near Cry's Jewelers, and one's near Barclays Gourmet. So Seward Johnson is a famous artist sculptor who has had his art on display all over the country, and we're lucky to have these five pieces through the end of the year. So if you get a chance to come to Flemington, and this would be a reason why you should come to Flemington, stop by Main Street and the Stengel property and get a chance to review and look at some of the Seward Johnson sculptures that are around town. Very interesting, and hopefully you'll get to enjoy them as well. And then tomorrow night, a big night here in Flemington. This weekend begins Jazz Fest in Flemington, Somerville, and New Brunswick. So you want to make plans to come out to Flemington tomorrow night between 6 and 10 p.m. on Main Street across from the courthouse. And that is where the first night of Jazz Fest will take place. It's brought to you by the Flemington Community Partnership. So you're going to want to make sure that, you know, you get here early, stake your claim as far as where you're going to be sitting, and just enjoy a great evening of jazz. Jazz Fest is always one of the more favorite events that comes to town, so hopefully you'll be able to have an opportunity to enjoy Jazz Fest. And obviously I want to wish good luck to my wife, who is actually in the process of being interviewed at a pharmaceutical company. She took an early package a couple of months ago, and now she's decided it's time to get back to work. And there's been genuine interest, and, you know, hasn't had to interview for a job in 32 years, so she was very nervous last night, but hopefully everything is going well there for her. So looking forward to hear how that all transpires this evening. So there you have it. We have our business quote of the week from Lou Holtz. There's never a right time to do the wrong thing. There's never a wrong time to do the right thing. Football, high school football is back. College football is back. Pro football is back. Is this the best time of the year or what? I just love this time of the year. An interesting thing, about 13 years ago, I was on a committee in Bridgewater to bring in field turf to our local high school. Our football field was horrendous. There were rocks, dirt, very little grass. And so we bought field turf, and it's been great for the high school. And many high schools around, you know, New Jersey and around the country have also invested in field turf or sprint turf. And the New England Patriots did the exact same thing up in Foxborough. In May, they tore out the old field and put in field turf, making Foxborough Stadium a little more multi-use facility. They could have concerts now because field turf doesn't, you know, damage like grass does if you were to cover it up. Well, guess what they did last week? After the first game of the season, they tore it up. Now they have a two-week window. They started planting sod and grass, and they're going back to grass. And that's a huge investment, over $1 million. So they've now pulled the field turf out, going back to natural grass. And after just one game, they all hated it, said it was too spongy, not the way they wanted to play their games, and out it goes. So interesting decision on the part of the New England Patriots. When we come back, we got to get serious and talk about how you can help the victims of Hurricane Irma. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh, yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm Jim Gano, your host, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and glad to be with you as we get together every Thursday at this time to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small, both here in Flemington and on the national scene as well. Speaking of the national scene, a whole lot going on the last couple of weeks. you had Hurricane Harvey, Hurricane Irma, the wildfires out in the West. It seems like just about every part of the country was hit with something. Then you had Hurricane Irma just decimating the Caribbean, with islands such as St. John and St. Martin taking a massive hit. One of our Crown Trophy store owners, John Movius, was trapped in St. Martin and was able to finally get on a military flight out. So he is back home in Denver and safe, and everything is good. But knowing John and seeing how he was talking about the devastation, you can tell that this changed him. It moved him to see that type of devastation, to see people have everything, you know, wiped out from underneath them. So many relief organizations are doing double duty, responding to the whammy of Hurricane Harvey and Irma in just a two-week time frame. On Monday, as the now tropical storm Irma continued its trek northward, and a third hurricane was actually lurking near Turks and Caicos, jurisdictions began to pick up the pieces and assess the toll. And Americans, again, are eager to help. Here are some organizations where you can direct your money and efforts, including UNICEF USA. It says it's targeting children impacted by Irma and is on the ground with staff and equipment for water treatment, hygiene, and more within the Caribbean. Catholic Relief Services is soliciting donations to respond to Irma and to prepare for Hurricane Jose for people in Haiti, the Dominican Republic, Cuba, and other Caribbean islands. World Vision is providing immediate supplies as well as long-term aid to families along Irma's path. The Christian humanitarian organization says that 90% of a donation goes directly to those impacted. The Red Cross, whose management has come under fire after a congressional report and media probes in recent years, says it has mobilized its second massive hurricane response in 2 weeks and is providing critical aid for Irma and Harvey victims. Operation USA, a Los Angeles-based disaster and relief group, offers a wide variety of ways to lend a hand, from sending a check to donating air mileage. AmeriCare is providing emergency health care access in Texas for Harvey victims. It is also partnering with health centers in Florida along Irma's path. GoFundMe is a crowdfunding platform and is creating a landing page that aggregates all campaigns created by and for Florida victims, as well as relief efforts in the Caribbean. People can donate to a direct impact fund or create their own fundraisers. PayPal, which operates a worldwide online payment system, has launched the disaster relief campaign and says it will waive processing costs to ensure that 100% of donations go toward the effort. The company, which is also running a campaign for Harvey, is a sponsor of a telethon called Hand in Hand, which was held on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on multiple networks and featured more than 40 celebrities. Habitat for Humanity is working with its local offices in Florida and the Caribbean to inspect damage from Irma. The group is helping families clean up after both Harvey and Irma and will help with the rebuilding efforts. Donations can be made at habitat.org/hurricanes or by calling 1-800-HABITAT. That's a great organization to be involved with. I've been volunteering with them for several years, and just great how fast they can actually, you know, get a house rebuilt. The Salvation Army has mobilized Harvey and Irma relief teams to provide meals, shelter, and emotional and spiritual care. The organization says you can contact them on their website. The American University of Antigua has created a fund specifically for the battered nation of Barbuda to provide food, water, and medicine, in addition to longer-term recovery assistance. All donations to this fund will be matched by AUA, the university says. Charity Navigator is a watchdog that appraises charities based on their tax filings and lists 22 groups responding to Irma that hold at least a 3-star rating. You can find that list on their website, Charity Navigator. And the group advises people to research relief organizations before making any donation. Retailer Target has pledged up to $1 million for Hurricane Irma relief. The donation is in addition to the $3.5 million the company committed last week to Hurricane Harvey assistance. Target says the money will benefit the store's team members affected by the storms and other national and international relief organizations. And PetSmart Charity says it has committed $1 million in grant funding to help pets and pet families in need after Irma, and $2 million to Hurricane Harvey relief. Shoppers also can donate to hurricane relief efforts at PetSmart stores. So a lot of ways that you can get involved. Do your due diligence, like the one that I mentioned, Charity Navigator. If you don't feel like your money's going to the right place, then find somewhere else. And then don't forget, local shelters for animals are being inundated with animals that had to be left behind, and both in Texas and Florida. So give them a call and see whether or not it's your county shelter or an organization like St. Hubert's, Giralda, to see whether or not there's anything you can do. A lot of times, they don't need money. They don't need food. What they need are clean towels. And so if you have a closet full of old towels you haven't used and you can get rid of them and give yourself some more shelf space back, by all means, give them a call and see if you can help them out in that way. Let's talk about natural disasters. Now, over the years, I have talked about this here on the program several times, and it's the one area that many businesses really fall woefully short, and that is, if something happens to your business, how quickly can you be back up and running? How will you communicate with employees? How will you communicate with your customers and your vendors? But keeping your business going after an extreme weather event is not easy. But here are a few tips that can help your company's chances of longevity after the storm passes. Now, although Misty Stark's Houston-based companies, 3B Resources Group Public Relations, and Misty Blue Media serve clients nationally, many of her customers have been affected by Hurricane Harvey. She says, each of her companies are business to business, so when my customers' companies are interrupted, so are mine. She had to evacuate her home office during the hurricane, Hurricane Harvey. So since the hurricane hit, she says she's been proactive in communicating with my clients in order to manage expectations and address any uncertainties, she said. The storm has highlighted vulnerabilities in my business, and I'm grateful for that. When it's all said and done, I'll be a better businesswoman on the other side. Now, 5 years on the other side of Hurricane Sandy that hit New York City in October 2012, Lynn Lambert agrees that it's possible to future-proof your business after a natural disaster. My company survived losing more than half of our inventory in Hurricane Sandy, says the owner of the New York City subway line, which is a clothing and apparel line featuring New York City imagery. The public warehouse we used to store our merchandise in was just feet from the Gowanus Canal. With no heat or electricity in the warehouse, my husband and son and I waded through the toxic water to salvage what had not been damaged by the storm and resulting flooding. Natural disasters can negatively affect any business, according to FEMA. Almost 40% of small businesses never reopen their doors following a disaster. Much of this has to do with the fact that many businesses are already vulnerable, believes Michelle Pippin, who is the founder of Women Who Wow, a national and international association of women entrepreneurs. She is also located in hurricane territory on the East Coast. Don't forget that your employees are also going through a lot, so be sensitive to their needs beyond your business and offer help where possible. Many small businesses are operating on razor-thin profit margins, says Pippin. So when you throw in a natural disaster like what Texas just experienced, you've got a problem that crosses all industry lines. Retail establishments see disappointing sales numbers and specialists face canceled appointments. There's five steps you can do to future-proof your business. And with some quick thinking and action following an extreme weather event, and even before, you can minimize the effects to your company. So help future-proof your business and avoid becoming a statistic by keeping the following five post-natural disaster tips in mind. First, you want to ensure that documents and key information are backed up. Future-proof your business by making sure your important files are saved to the cloud so they can be accessed from anywhere, says Starks. In an evacuation situation, you may not have your business computer at your disposal, so having important information in the cloud allows for business continuity. If you choose not to use cloud storage, ensure that copies of your important documentation are stored off-site, says Robin Lee Allen, who's a managing partner for Esperance Private Equity, an investment fund manager specializing in private equity transactions. Keep copies of legal and financial documents in an off-site safe deposit box or vault. Redundancy in record keeping is better than no records. Insurance will help with physical assets, but lost information can destroy years of hard work, says Roman Zarelski, who's the founder and CEO of Ready to Go Survival, a retail brand specializing in personalized emergency preparedness. If you have sufficient notice and conditions are safe, relocate your most valuable assets to a safe place or higher ground. Renting a truck and a warehouse at a safe location could minimize potential downtime. If you don't have backup files and your data seems to be lost, look into electronic restoration, advises Jay Shelton, who's the Senior Vice President of Executive Risk at Assurance, an independent insurance agency in Chicago. It's amazing what can be recovered from a hard drive that appears to be damaged. You also, on the second step, want to contact your insurance provider ASAP. Notify your insurance provider at the first sign of damage, advises Zarelski. Waiting until later puts you at risk of being at the end of the line for a payout. Future-proof your business by communicating as soon as possible with your insurance agent and take their direction on how to proceed. It turns out that insurance policy had a $100,000 in warehouse component to it, which went a long way to making Lambert Hole again. If you get worried about your insurance reimbursement, you may or may not get, hire an independent adjuster. And third, check on employees and vendors. Immediately after a disaster, the first thing I advise is checking on the people involved in your business, suggests Lee Allen. From a business and economic standpoint, human capital is by far the most valuable. So ensuring that your employees are as personally secure as possible allows you to focus on the business continuity plans. And you want to apply for financial assistance where possible. While it's a good idea to apply for financial assistance for your business through the Small Business Administration and FEMA, Lambert suggests checking for other opportunities first. She says, I got an SBA loan to replace the rest of our inventory not covered by insurance, but I missed out on a grant that would have greatly helped if I'd known about it. Before taking out any loans, see if there are any regional, city, state, or federal low or no interest loans or grants available for businesses in your area. And number five, reach out for help. Avoid isolating yourself after a natural disaster. Contact fellow entrepreneurs if you're in need, says Starks. Have a list of contractors and freelancers in areas outside your immediate city to serve as backup for employees who are also displaced. Tap into your professional network to put a few people on standby who can be available to help your business if necessary. Most importantly, future-proof your business by giving yourself your business time. After a disaster, it takes time to get back to normal, says Stark. So give yourself a chance to get back on your feet and be honest with yourself and your clients about your recovery. We're going to have more on this in just a few minutes. We've got to step away for a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more on disaster preparedness and what you can do to future-proof that business so that you don't become one of those 40% businesses that never makes it back. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Well, I'm a conservative, and I will tell you I'm not skeptical, and I think that if we can do things in a bipartisan manner, that'll be great. Now, it might not work out, in which case we'll try and do them without.
President Trump speaking with reporters about concerns from conservatives over his meetings with Democrats to try to get tax reform and other issues done. The president also talked about his administration's response to Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, saying he thinks his administration has done a great job.
I think we've gotten very high marks for the way we've handled them thus far, and we continue to handle them well, but they were very big and very powerful, and it was very unfortunate.
The nation's weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department figures out today show 284,000 Americans filed first-time unemployment claims last week. That's 14,000 fewer than the previous week's total. You're listening to USA Radio News.
This report is brought to you by the National Cybersecurity Alliance. Many consumers do not fully understand how to protect their personal information online. They need to carefully consider the data they continuously generate about themselves and others from their mobile devices and PCs. Michael Kaiser with the National Cybersecurity Alliance.
Your personally identifiable information is like money. Value it, protect it. At staysafeonline.org, the National Cybersecurity Alliance offers free tips for keeping a clean PC and protecting your privacy online. For tips on how to protect your smartphone or tablet, check out DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com. DigitalU is a program from our friends at AT&T that provides free tips and tools for protecting your devices and data, keeping your personal information secure, and keeping you safe online.
Protect your privacy online. Visit the National Cybersecurity Alliance at staysafeonline.org and AT&T DigitalU at onlinesafety.att.com for more information.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me, and so glad I could join you. I really enjoyed doing this program. We're coming up on, hard to believe, but coming up on close to 6 years of broadcasting here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. And don't be selfish. Tell your friends that they should be listening to Hunter and Chamber Radio. There's so many good programs here. We have lawyers. We have accountants. We have psychologists. We have nutritionists. There's something for everybody here, so make sure that you share the fact that there's so many good programs here on Hunter and Chamber Radio. And don't forget that if you want, it's a great way for you to advertise your business locally. So make sure you get in touch with the Chamber at 782-7115. Ask for Chris, and you'll get more information on how you can advertise your business on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Before the break, I was talking about how to future-proof your business after a loss. Well, one of the things about future-proofing is what you should have done in the past, and that is being ready, anticipating when something goes wrong. There's a lot of natural disasters and that you can prepare for. So, for instance, there is always the chance of a fire in your building. So make sure your data is backed up and backed up off-site, or that you keep a hard copy with you. There's always the chance of flooding. So are there certain things that you can do that would prevent you from being wiped out? And simple things like you don't put your air conditioner compressor on the ground, you put it on the roof. You don't put your computer server on the first floor, you put it on the second or third if that's available to you. Little things. Have you had a conversation with most of your vendors as far as if you had to move, how fast could you get new equipment? How fast could you get new inventory? I have. I had these conversations 2 years into my business. I review them about every 6 months. And one of the things I found is that I could probably be back up and running in business, engraving and building, don't know where. That could be in another warehouse. It could be in my garage. But we would be working within 48 to 72 hours fully functional. That's a comforting feeling to know, especially when you see the devastation down in Texas and Florida. So why wouldn't you take those steps now? And it does take some time. You have to think through it. FEMA's website has a great kind of like disaster preparedness checklist that you can go through to make sure that you're kind of thinking about these things. And then as you see things on the evening news, oh, there's a fire in this region. There's flooding over here. There's an earthquake. There's floods and things like that. Think about, is that possible where you live? If you live on the top of the mountain, chances are you're not going to be involved in a flood, but those below you could be. How would that affect you? And after Superstorm Sandy, I can tell you, in addition to having damage in our showroom ceiling came crashing down, it was flooded. There was an 80-foot section of roof that was torn off our building. I could see daylight through the rafters. We had to prepare for that. We had to, every night, we had to put tarps over our equipment to protect them from the elements. We had to lift our computers off the floor so that if it rained during the night, they wouldn't be sitting in water. These are the types of things that you want to be doing. So make sure that you're always thinking of the worst case scenario so that you're prepared, just in case that does happen, in your business. Customer service is one of the most popular topics I think I talk about here on the program. The program is called Taking Care of Business, and I'm your host, Jim Gano. And this is the one area in every business where you can either succeed or fail in the first 15 seconds. So how do you train your employees in customer service? And the constant change in the customer engagement may make you wonder how to train your employees in customer service at all. Focus on the customer experience is probably a great way to start. Now, when you consider how to train your employees in customer service, you may want to take a step back for a moment to think about the overall customer experience instead. Now, in this hyper-consumer experience economy, it's important to focus on helping everyone in the company see the importance of end-to-end customer experience. So how does customer service training differ from customer experience training? One of your first steps in how to train your employees in customer service is to be clear about the difference between customer service and customer experience training. A superb customer experience is made up of the total series of memorable moments in the entire customer service cycle, from the time they walk through the front door, from the time they click on your website, from the time they call your business. That's when the clock starts. So making that whole experience from beginning to end product delivery is key. In a 2016 McKinsey & Company report, Customer Experience, Creating Value Through Transforming Customer Journeys, McKinsey shows the best-in-class companies optimize customer journeys, not just touch points. That's because customers experience companies through end-to-end experiences and not just through those touch points. So how does customer service differ from the end-to-end customer experience? Well, customer service is but one component of the overall customer experience. To use an analogy, customer service training is focused on the trees, while training on the customer experience is focusing on the forest. One is operational, the other strategic. So let's take a hotel experience as an example. The customer rep who takes the reservation is friendly and helpful, providing additional information regarding transportation to and from the airport and answering all your other questions. She even goes the extra mile to search for a better room rate for you within the hotel categories. This is a sign of good customer service training. You're feeling pretty good about your hotel choice. Customer service training is, again, focusing on the trees, while training on the customer experience is focusing on the forest. Again, one operational, one strategic. When you arrive at the hotel, the porter rushes to open the car door, welcomes the children. He even bends to collect the child's toy and hands it to her with a smile after she's dropped it. This is also part of good customer service training, and you continue to feel that you've made the right choice indeed. But when you arrive at the reception counter, the clerk who greets you has a frosty expression. He interrupts his interaction with you to discuss an issue with another hotel employee who approached him. He answers your question about the Wi-Fi while continuing to look at his screen to process your information. He never mentions your name, but he does all the other expected bare-bones aspects of customer service. He explains some of the hotel amenities, asks how many keys you need, and hands you out the keys. Then, with a blank expression, he wishes you a happy stay at the hotel. You head to your room not feeling quite as sure about your upcoming hotel experience as you felt before. Nothing bad happened, but your feeling about the hotel has changed. The complete end-to-end experience you had in this partial encounter with the hotel was not seamless. In a series of open doors, this one touch point felt like a closed one. So how do you conduct customer service training within the framework of the overall customer experience? To focus on end-to-end customer experience when embarking on customer service training, consider three important factors. First, focus on the emotions. The mechanics in customer service transactions are easily copied and may even be surpassed by your competitors. Training people on how to create a positive emotional experience every step of the way may make you stand out from the competition. The 2016 ROI of Customer Experience study by the Temkin Group involved feedback from 10,000 U.S. consumers regarding their emotional experience with 294 companies across 20 industries. The study had this to reveal. How a customer feels about an interaction is the most significant driver of customer loyalty. Compared with customers who have a poor emotional experience, those with a positive emotional experience are more than 6 times as likely to purchase again, more than 12 times as likely to recommend a company, and more than 5 times as likely to forgive a company for mistakes. The bottom line, simply train people to care about the customer's emotions. So when you think about how to train your employees in customer service, ask yourself this. How does everyone who comes in contact with your customer make that customer feel? Raising everyone's awareness of this key point can be an integral part of any customer experience training. As Harley Manning of research and advisory firm Forrester recently said, the best customer experiences are enjoyable. They're emotionally engaging. And this is something that businesses forget. They forget that their customers have emotions and that emotions will lead them to make decisions. So educate your employees to share in the vision. That's the second part. Part of your customer service training can serve to help employees see that each customer service touchpoint, no matter how small, is a golden link in the overall customer experience chain. This can help employees see that emotions are key in brand loyalty. Sometimes all it takes is one broken link in that chain to lose a precious customer for life. In a sense, you're as good as your weakest link, so ask them not to be part of the weakest link. In your plan on how to train your employees in customer service, consider illustrating the why behind the customer service training, not just the what. The what is obviously customer satisfaction. The why is about the overarching purpose of customer attraction, retention, company growth, not to mention company survival, doing well while doing good. With that in mind, consider training people beyond all the customer service transactions. Involve them in the overall mission by sharing data about the connection between the customer experience and customer retention. Enlist everyone as partners, from the boiler room to the boardroom, in the quest to beat the competition. You also want to hire brand ambassadors. Your initiative on how to train your employees in customer service may be more successful if you have the right people in the right jobs. Hiring right in the first place can help achieve greater customer service and positive customer experiences. So let's take our hotel example. It's safe to say that individuals who don't like people probably shouldn't be in the hospitality business, or for that matter, in any business where there's extensive customer interaction. You can train waiters on how to set a table or how to explain the day's menu, but you cannot train them to be genuinely warm with patrons. For customer-facing jobs, look for people who have a friendly, natural, warm personality and who seem to truly enjoy being around people. The emotional labor of having to smile and being friendly and warm may not be a burden to them because that's a part of their general makeup. Emotional labor is the work of managing feelings and expressions in order to fulfill the requirements of a job. You can make it easy for your employees to be your brand ambassadors by aligning the brand with the right employee personality. So look for those who are a natural fit for the job, and they make people feel good about doing business with your company. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take our last break. When we come back, we've got a whole lot more right here on Taking Care of Business on Huntington.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime. Work
out. Oh, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington. So glad you could join me. Got a lot more to get to, and this is one that I am getting. I don't know what it is. There may be a seasonal thing, but a lot of people are asking me to help coach them on their presentation skills. They have good presentations. They're just nervous as all get out to get up in front of a crowd of 20 people, 10 people, 200 people. It doesn't matter. It's almost like that movie, The King's Speech. But I've had people tell me that they'll have diarrhea attacks, they'll throw up before a presentation, and it really doesn't have to be that way. I understand people get nervous. That's easy to understand. But, you know, you put me in front of a crowd, you give me a topic, and I'll talk for an hour. And so it's easy for me. It's how do we get that confidence into someone else? So if you want to brush up on your presentation skills, three professional speakers have shared with us ways that you can make a positive, lasting impression at your next talk. And your presentation skills can be the key that unlocks what you crave. New business, new relationships, new brand fans. But there's more to giving a great business presentation than building some slides and getting into a room. That, there's an art to it. Now, I've probably earned at least 50% of my living from performing and pitching in one sense or another for well over 30 years. You know, I'm an ongoing student of the art. I watch others speak and I say, oh, that was good. I like that. Or maybe something turns me off. I say, I got to avoid doing that. So today we're going to talk to you about how you can hone the art of presentation and hopefully incorporate that into how you do it. So if you want to dive deeper into productivity, access a if you can find somebody who speaks on YouTube, it could be a commencement address. It could be like Tim Cook at Microsoft when he just did the presentation launching the Apple 8, 8X, and Apple 10. Look at their skills and don't be shy. Don't be afraid to make mistakes along the way. It makes you human, makes you humble. You're not a Robotron just dispensing information. So whether you're selling or simply conveying a message that needs sharing, here's some ideas on how you can do it from some of the best speakers out there. Now, Ian Altman is the author of Same Side Selling, A Radical Approach to Breakthrough Sales Barriers, and a keynote speaker on integrity-based selling and communication. Mark Bowman is the co-founder of TruthPlane, an organization that helps people boost their presentation skills. And Jason Lapley is an inspirational comedian with over 20 years' experience speaking to audiences all over the world about identity, standing out, and change management. First, try speaking to a younger audience to work on your presentation skills. Now, this may seem counterintuitive, but Lapley is a big fan of taking your favorite speaking topics and breaking them down for a younger audience. And he means young to a young crowd, elementary students at story time, Sunday school classes, local libraries, Lapley says. It does two things. First, it forces you to use storytelling techniques, vocal variation, word emphasis, eye contact, hand gestures, even interaction with your crowd. Secondly, it makes you boil your idea and points down to a level that they can understand. And while you might not use that language in your pitch or presentation, he says, it gives you a much better grasp of your subject matter. If you can keep young kids engaged, you certainly can keep adults engaged. Don't overdo it with big words and, you know, go to the thesaurus and try to find the biggest words you can to impress people. You know, there's the old expression, if you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with BS. Not necessarily true in this case. Tell your audience a story during your presentation. So whether you're pitching or presenting, there's a structure to a story. Giving your presentation a beginning, a middle, and an end is only part of it. Altman says that getting personal and keeping it on topic, of course, can help make you more memorable. Start with explaining the problem or challenge that you solve. It helps the audience understand why they should care about your message. Ian Altman, who's the author and a keynote speaker, says, I'll meet an audience member who saw me speak years ago, and they remember every detail of the stories with amazing clarity. They never remember details about research or numbers. You may want to think about a story from your business or your life experiences that can support your message. This type of storytelling can involve your audience on a much personal level, your worth, and your message. Craft your pitch for your allotted time is another key element. Telling a big story or pitching a big idea in 15 minutes can be a daunting task. Filling an hour with fluff because you lack substance can be a pitfall too. So how do you find a happy medium? Bowman recommends shifting your thinking to match your allotted time slot. The longer you have, the easier it will be to support your idea in multiple ways, using multiple forms and create many moments of audience interaction. It's kind of like a variety show, he says. A shorter time slot means you must think more like a poet. How can you get your point across in the simplest, most elegant manner? It's kind of like a haiku. So to help maximize short time slots, consider structuring your presentation to focus on your big ideas and the most important supporting concepts for those ideas. Economy of words can translate into powerful storytelling in the shortest possible time. The maximum impact. When pitching and presenting, it's incredibly tempting to get to how you want to solve the client or audience's problem. That's why you're in front of the room, right? Altman suggests slowing things down a little bit and starting with the problem you solve to garner maximum traction for your efforts. Nobody cares about your solution if they don't first understand the problem that it solves, he says. In years of research on how business people make decisions, he's discovered that people first ask, What problem does it solve, or why do I need it? With that research in your pocket, start with explaining the problem or challenge that you solve. It helps the audience understand why they should care about your message. Take an improv class to help boost your presentation skills. Playing off an audience, riffing, going off script, or simply responding to a phone going off at the heart of an emotional story may be one of the most difficult skills for a speaker to acquire. And that's why Lavely is keen on speakers taking an improv class. Most people don't fear public speaking. They fear looking like an idiot or a fool, he says. And that can be a great reason to put yourself in an environment where it's safe and even expected that you're going to be a little foolish in your presentation skills. Confidence and fear come across tenfold to your audience. Lapley says anything you can do to help boost your confidence will be beneficial. Visuals should support your message, not be your message. There's nothing worse than a slide so jam-packed with data that you can't even read it, much less absorb it. Remember, you're there to make things easier and not harder on your audience. Visuals should complement your message, not be the message, says Altman. So craft those messages and stories first and only use slides that add to the message. When the audiovisual system fails, your audience shouldn't feel like they're missing anything. Bowman advocates letting your body and gestures do the talking first and rely on visuals if they're still needed to support your message. If you can explain it with what you have mostly readily at hand, then why not do it, says Bowman. If you can't, there's now a good reason to use a visual. But remember, the greatest speakers have always called on an audience to make their imaginations before pulling up any kind of image from elsewhere. Slides are attention splitters to your speaking. If you're going to use a slide or a visual, any sort, it should stand alone. Show it and give the audience a moment to absorb it, and then the attention comes back once again to you when you begin speaking again. Finally, use context to create a connection with your audience. Data is great, but when you're trying to sell an idea or a service, data alone isn't going to win you the gig. For both pitching and presenting, Lately advocates that success comes from combining context, which is your data, with stories, yours or your clients, to create a deeply rooted connection. Just give data, how will your audience know their emotional connection to it? And if you just tell the story, how will they know the validity behind it? It's the ability to combine the two that makes both presentation and a pitch more effective. He calls it content plus context equals connection. Now, for your next pitch or presentation, you have 7 tips that can help you shape the data and content that you already have put in a version that gets more glances at you than your audience's phone. The version that gets people asking questions and not just saying a generic thank you. The version that puts you in the driver's seat to win hearts and minds, not to mention deals, because you took the time to focus on your physical presentation skills and connect your solutions to your audience's problems. Good luck. In sports, in Major League Baseball and the American League, the Red Sox, Indians, and Astros lead their divisions, while in the National League, the Nationals, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their divisions. In the NFL, this is week 2 of the regular season. The Eagles will play Kansas City, the Jets take on Oakland, and the Giants play Detroit on Monday night. In college football, locally, 0-2 Morgan State travels to 0-2 Rutgers to play at High Point Solutions Stadium in Piscataway, New Jersey at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday. The AP Top 10 looks like this heading into Week 3. Alabama holds down the top spot, followed by Oklahoma, Clemson, USC, and Penn State. Washington, Michigan, Ohio State, Oklahoma State, and Wisconsin round out the top 10. In NASCAR news, it's Kyle Larson winning last week's regular season-ending race at Richmond. On a late race restart, Martin Truex Jr. wins the regular season. The chase for the Monster Cup begins this weekend in Chicago. And another NASCAR news, silly season is officially underway and in full swing as Danica Patrick has announced she is leaving Stewart-Haas Racing at the end of the year. Her replacement has not yet been named, but Smithfield Farms is also moving to Stewart-Haas and leaving Richard Petty Motorsports and driver Eric Almirola. Don't forget to come to Flemington tomorrow for Jazz Fest tomorrow night at 6 p.m. on Main Street by the courthouse. As always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGano83, or on Facebook on our new page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Gano. I'm Jim Gano, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. And I've been taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking it all my business and working overtime. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
Well, I'm a conservative, and I will tell you, I'm not skeptical, and I think that if we can do things in a bipartisan manner, that'll be great. Now, it might not work out, in which case we'll try and do them without.
President Trump speaking with reporters about concerns from conservatives over his meetings with Democrats to try to get tax reform and other issues done. The president also talked about his administration's response to Hurricanes Harvey and Irma, saying he thinks his administration has done a great job.
I think we've gotten very high marks for the way we've handled them thus far, and we continue to handle them well, but they were very big and very powerful, and it was very unfortunate.
The nation's weekly jobless claims are down. The Labor Department figures out today show 284,000 Americans filed first-time unemployment claims last week. That's 14,000 fewer than the previous week's total. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Everyone loves liberty, so why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Stop letting others tell you what to do. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
Hi, I'm Wayne Alaroot for pre-1933.com. I've been the single biggest BBB, backer, believer, and buyer of gold for over 15 years. But now I found a better way to buy gold. I found the Uber of gold. This company, pre-1933.com, will forever change the way gold is sold. Pre-1933.com is a wholesaler of pre-1933 gold. They have no salesmen, zero commission, prices no one can compete with. Call 855-PRE-1933. That's toll free, 855-773-1933, or go to pre-1933.com.
Multiple issues now coming out about the nursing home in Florida where residents died after a power failure. Here's Chris Barnes.
Their facility, the Hollywood Hills Rehabilitation Center, had lost power after Hurricane Irma slammed the state, but Hollywood Mayor Josh Levy calls this a case of human failure.
Human failure on the part of the medical staff supervising these folks to not sound the alarm much more broadly, much more loudly, way earlier.
Police arrived on Wednesday morning to find the power out and sweltering conditions. Governor Rick Scott says he's heartbroken at the news and has directed multiple state agencies to work on that investigation. I'm Chris Barnes.
Several Marines are inches from death after a training exercise in the San Diego area. More than a dozen Marines were on an amphibious assault vehicle when it crashed and went up in flames Wednesday at Camp Pendleton. Officials say the crash left six Marines in critical condition and nine others badly hurt. Most of the Marines had to be rushed to UC San Diego's burn center. USA Radio News.
Allergies. Pollen in the air. Dogs in the house. Mold in the basement. Whatever triggers your allergy symptoms, it can really hold you back. Break through with Allegra 5-in-1 Relief. Allegra works fast, won't make you drowsy, provides 24-hour multi-symptom relief, and it's effective every day. Break through allergies with Allegra. Starts working in 1 hour. Use only as directed. Guaranteed or your money back. Visit Allegra.com.
The White House has somebody new cutting the lawn, and he's doing it for free. Why? Well, Chris Barnes has the story.
The White House confirming that 11-year-old Frank Giachio is going to do the Friday mowing duties at the White House. He offered to mow the lawn for free in a letter to President Trump last spring. He says he's an entrepreneur like Trump is, and he's starting his own lawn mowing business in his neighborhood. He's going to work with the White House groundskeeper in the Rose Garden as well. I'm Chris Barnes.
Some of the rescue teams being sent to Florida to help out in the wake of Hurricane Irma are already returning home.
Some of the emergency responders Mississippi sent to Florida to help out in the hurricane recovery are coming home. Chad Bryant with the Gulfport Fire Department leads a search and rescue team that's been working near Jacksonville this week, and he says the help they offered was appreciated.
It means a lot to
state of Mississippi to being here and represent doing anything we can to help them out.
A couple of National Guard helicopters that were sent to Florida to help transport emergency supplies returned home to Meridian yesterday. Randy Bell in Jackson.
Martin Shkreli is in the slammer after offering a $5,000 bounty for a lock of Hillary Clinton's hair. A federal judge revoked the so-called Pharma Bros $5 million bail yesterday. He agreed with prosecutors. Shkreli's Facebook post solicited assault, proving the convicted fraudster is a danger to society. USA Radio News.
Oh, folks.